Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and our friend Ed Short and I could not get in the studio together this week, so I'm having to broadcast this from my home studio. That's why the mic might sound a little different. Today is Sunday, February the 18th, 2024, and we really hope that next Sunday we'll be back in the Prophecies of Hope studio, and we'll pick up right where we left off 2 weeks ago in the Bible study that we were doing in Daniel and Revelation. But this evening, what we're going to do is we're going to be listening to a sermon that I gave a while back called Be Anxious for Nothing. Really? Is that possible? Well, you know, one of the things that if you're suffering from anxiety, this sermon might help you a little bit, because we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about being anxious and ways to cope with that. But before we get started, I just want to say thank you to Ray Powers for letting us be a part of this New Visions radio family and broadcast. It's just a blessing to be here each and every week. And you can find us here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, USA. And we're really grateful to be a part of this. And also, just to tell you a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, we are an independent ministry right here in Stanton, Virginia. We're not affiliated with any denomination or any other church. We are just an independent ministry, a little tiny church, and we meet every Saturday or biblical Sabbath, and we meet at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time for Sabbath school. If you'd like to be able to Zoom with us, we broadcast that via Zoom, and we also stream it at prophecyhope.com. If you'd like to participate, I can send you the Zoom link. You can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. If you'd like to email Ed, you can email him at ed@prophecyhope.com. Also, at 11 o'clock on Saturday or Sabbath mornings, we have a worship service. And typically, we have traditional hymns. We don't do a lot of the modern music, but we'll sing a traditional hymn, and then we have a prayer and prayer time for other people where we do an intercessory prayer, and then we have a sermon. And if you're ever in the Stanton, Virginia area, we would love to have you pay us a visit. Now, we also right now have going on a prayer meeting every other Monday night, and that is also via Zoom if you'd like to join that. And there is also a Zoom Bible study on Wednesday nights. We do that every Wednesday at 7 p.m. So the Monday and Wednesday are Zoom only, and they're at 7 p.m. The church service that we have is Zoom for the Sabbath School, and it is streamed. Both Sabbath School and the sermon are streamed live at prophecyhope.com. Also, if you have the need or want to hear another sermon, there are an abundance of sermons on prophecyhope.com. I believe there's well over 300 sermons there. And if you'd ever like to tune in there and take a look, you can type in the topic and you can find the sermon of your liking. Chances are, if we haven't done a sermon on something and you're interested in it, you can send us an email, and we will try to develop a sermon on the topic of your interest. If you have any Bible questions that you'd like to send in, you can email that as well. Also, if you can't remember my name or Ed's name, you can send your email to office@prophecyhope.com. So I hope this helps you a little bit to know a little bit about this ministry. And what we're going to do, we're going to start off with a prayer, and then we'll get this sermon started. So let's have an opening word of prayer. Father in heaven, it's such a blessing to be here this evening, to be able to open your word, the Bible, and to see what you have to tell us about being anxious in this world. And I just ask that you will bless those who are listening, bless each and every one of us, and may people be able to share these things, to share the gospel with others. We ask for your spirit to be with us now as we listen to the sermon, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So once again, this sermon is entitled, Be Anxious for Nothing. Really? And I hope you enjoy this sermon. One of the things that comes up a lot, and especially lately, is people will call me and say they're feeling a lot of anxiety. People are feeling very anxious. The world today is a very different place than it was just 4 years ago in 2019. 2020 changed. And it seems like throughout the years, almost every generation has something that changes things. In the early 20th century, there was World War I. And people, if you talk to people that were living during that time, if you've had the privilege of talking to any of them, they will tell you that their lives changed when that happened. And then you talk to people who lived during World War II, during the Korean War, during the Vietnam War, during 9/11. All of these things changed the lives of the people who were alive. People were affected by those things. Anxiety was high. And now here we are, we're in the year 2023. And what do we see going on? People are looking and they're seeing things in the world lining up to where it looks like there could be a World War III. That's what people are seeing. And they're becoming very anxious. They look around, they think the world is coming apart. They see things. They see all of these ships lining up and all of these nations rising up, one against the other. And it looks like a world war could begin. People get short-tempered anymore. It seems like tempers are short. Temperatures are rising within the hearts of men. Immorality is rampant. The world is just coming unglued. And I don't know about you, but my observation is it seems that through all of these generations, if we were to talk to people from those time periods, they would say, well, Jesus is coming soon. It can't go on much longer. Those people who were living during the First World War, that's what they were saying. It just can't go on much longer. The whole world is at war. During World War II, the same thing. World War I, World War II. All of these time periods, it can't go on much longer. Well, I'm going to tell you, I look and I say, it can't go on much longer. I've said it. I believe that. Anxiety, what do we do about it? Have you ever felt anxious over something? Has there ever been something in your life? Maybe it's the news today. Maybe it's the things that are going on. Maybe you're anxious for something to occur in your life that just doesn't seem to come about. Well, we're going to talk about anxiety, about being anxious for nothing. Is that possible in this world that we live in? Is it possible to be anxious for nothing? And so if I said to you, be anxious for nothing, you'd probably look at me and say, really? Is that possible? Well, let's see what the Word of God says. And you know, for people that don't have the Word of God, people that don't rely on this, people that don't believe that this is an inspired book, their anxiety just has to be terrible. Because I'll be honest, I get anxious. I know what this says. I've studied it. I don't know everything about it, but I've studied it enough to have faith to know that I really don't have reason to be anxious. But I still get anxious. I turn on the news and I hear things and I get upset and I think, what in the world? What's wrong with these people? And it makes me anxious. It makes me angry. My temperature, my blood pressure goes up. My temperature, my face gets red. So what do we do? How can we deal with this? Well, let's begin by taking a look at what Timothy had to say. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a text that most all of us here are very likely familiar with. This might be new to some. And I want you to see what this says. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm just going to begin in the first verse. He says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous. That's not a word that we use a lot today, is it? Perilous. If I said to you, times are perilous, the younger generation would probably say, well, what does that mean, perilous? Well, we know what it means when we read it, but perilous, the Greek word for perilous, I think it's pronounced shalapos, and it's only used twice in all of the Greek part of the Bible, in all of the New Testament. Here's one of them. This is one of the times that it's used. And it means hard, rugged, furious, ferocious, difficult, or trying. You know, when I look at the times that we're living in and I read this, it would say, but know this, that in the last days, ferocious times will come. That's what perilous means. Ferocious, furious, difficult. And the only other time that this is used in the Bible is in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, when there were two demon-possessed men. They were ferocious. And it's used there in Matthew 8, 28. So when this is being penned, this word is not used much in the Bible, only twice. And it says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. This word brutal, it's only used one time, and it's right here, the Greek word. And that Greek word is anemeros, anemeros, and it means savage, savage. The world will become savage, ferocious. Verse 4, speaking about this world, it says, the men of this world, it says, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such turn away. Does this sound like the world that we live in? This is describing the world that we're living in today. And I think through every time period, people would say, well, this describes the world that we're living in today. But it seems more than ever, this is where we are. The closer we get to the coming of Christ, it seems like Satan is just ramping things up. He's intensifying. Things are becoming more intense and more frequent. Bad things are happening. So how can I not be anxious? How can I see this going on and not feel anxiety? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. I want you to see Jesus' words here in Matthew chapter 24. Again, a text we're all very familiar with. And we're going to do a bit of reading in this chapter, because here, his disciples, they wanted to know what would be the sign of the end of the world. And so let's read this. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 3. It says, now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. You know, I've spent a lot of time in the past talking about this very verse. Deception is rampant today. And it's so easy to be deceived. And we turn on the news, we turn on the television, we turn on the radio, we turn on YouTube, and we go there for what we think for what we want to learn what the Bible says. This is all part of the deception. If you want to know what the Bible says, open the Bible and see what it says. Don't just believe what people are saying. Take heed that no one deceives you. Notice verse 5. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Are there rumors of wars now? Are there wars now? Yes. It says, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. Does this sound like today? Yes. It surely does. Verse 8, and these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. So in other words, he's preparing us, telling us it's not going to be easy. Some troubles are going to come against you if you believe in God and his Son. Verse 10, and then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness. Do we see lawlessness today? Do we see people doing away with the commandments of God? Do we see them sweeping them under the rug? If not all 10, maybe just one or two. Is that acceptable? Not at all. But we were warned. We're being warned. Verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, that could be talking about the end of our life or the end of this world, whichever comes first. We have to endure to the end, whichever one it is. Verse 14, he gives us a little more information. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. It doesn't say may be preached or might be preached. It will be preached just to your local community and within your household and in your church. No. But that's what a lot of us do. But it says, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, I don't know about you, but I believe this time is getting close because the gospel is going out fast with the internet, with Zoom, with the things that we have, the way that we can print material. Bibles are being printed in more languages than ever before in history. So this gospel can go out faster now than ever before. Do you want to be a part of that? Do you want to be a part of spreading the gospel, helping others, causing this prophecy to be fulfilled? Because it has to be done to God's liking before he can send his son to reap the harvest. So notice verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Remember, he says, don't be deceived. So you must understand. You have to read and understand. Verse 16. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, we're not going to spend any time talking about this abomination of desolation. We've talked about that a little bit on Monday nights at the study that we're having. And we'll probably talk about it a little more. And this is a sermon for another time. But it's interesting when you study this, what it is, and what it literally means. And we'll get to that one day. Verse 17, let him who is on the housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Now remember who Jesus is talking to here. He's talking to his disciples and he's warning them that there's going to be a time of trouble that's going to come. So he's not only pointing to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, but he's also, as we read, the gospel must be preached in all the earth and then the end will come. So this is fulfilling, this is speaking of the fulfillment of two prophecies. Verse 19, but woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, because it's going to be a difficult time at the end of time to be raising children. And verse 20, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Now, I always like to make this point because Jesus knew when he was giving this prophecy that it would be after his death and resurrection. He knew that. So a lot of people like to use this verse to say, well, see right there, they'll look at this verse and they'll say, well, you know, he did away with the Sabbath. Well, why would he say, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, if in fact he did away with the Sabbath, knowing this would be after his death and resurrection? Verse 21. For then there will be a great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So, when I look at this text again, for there will be great tribulation. For people that have lived through any time period, through that 70 AD, they might have considered that a great tribulation. But think about the Dark Ages. Was that not a great tribulation? Yeah. Think of the millions of lives that were lost. So I'm just trying to plant the seed for people to think a little bit about what Jesus is saying here. But let's continue on. Jesus continues what he's saying here in verse 23. He says, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ or there, do not believe it. If anybody tells you that Jesus has already returned, He says, don't believe it. It says in verse 24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he, that's Jesus, he's speaking of himself. Look, he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. It's not going to be a secret. It will be evident. He's coming in the clouds. He'll be coming in glory. He'll be coming in glory, especially for those who are in Christ Jesus. But for those who are not, they're anxious. They're anxious. I'm going to stop here. I know I'm stopping short. We'll come back. We will come back to this. But, you know, reading this for some people causes anxiety. They read the text we just read and it causes them trouble and they get anxious. Is that how you feel? You don't have to answer. It's a rhetorical, just answer it within yourself. Is that how, do you feel anxious when you read this? Well, let's continue. Let's take a look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. It's right near Hebrews. James chapter 1. And I want to read, I'm going to begin here in verse 2. It says here, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him also ask of God, who gives to just a few. No. God gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That phrase literally means agitated. Agitated. You know, if you doubt and you don't have faith, you can be more agitated. It causes anxiety. But if you have faith, the anxiety level drops. The agitation tends to be pushed aside. I'm not saying you can't get agitated. I get agitated. It happens. Verse 7. For let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. Unstable in his ways. That's interesting. This word unstable means unquiet, turbulent. Turbulent. So when I read these verses, faith seems to calm people. Those who don't have it seem to be more agitated. So how can we deal with this anxiety? How can we become less anxious? Jesus gives us a beautiful text here in Matthew chapter 6. We've looked at some verses that can make people anxious. Well, now let's look at some verses that can just make that anxiety melt away just by reading the words that are in the Bible and by applying them. You know, we can read all we want, but unless we're making application of what we're reading, it's not going to help. We have to make application of these things. So Matthew chapter 6, and let's just start here in verse 19. Jesus here, this is actually part of the Sermon on the Mount. He had just given the model prayer, and he says here in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 19, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. He's not saying here that you can't have nice things, but don't make that your treasure. You can have nice things, a nice home, a nice car, but don't make that your treasure. Your treasure should be in heaven. If there's anything that you have in your life that you can't let go, that if you see Jesus coming in the clouds, you say, oh, let me grab this first. Think about that. That's why Jesus said, don't go back. to get your stuff. Guess what? When Jesus comes, our stuff isn't going with us. So if there's any treasure that you have on this earth that you treasure more than your relationship with God and His Son, maybe you should let that go. Or pray that God will help you to be able to let it go. Because you might not, you know, you don't want to let it go and then be like Lot's wife and start looking back. You know, think about these things, friends. All of these things cause anxiety. That's why we're talking about it. If there are things in your life that come between you and your Maker, other than Jesus Christ Himself, that's the only mediator I want. That's the only thing I want between me and God is Christ. If there's anything else there, consider it. Maybe we need to get rid of it. So, verse 22, it says, "The lamp of the eye, or the lamp of the body, is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or riches, in other words. But Jesus goes on. He doesn't leave you hanging there, saying, look, you got to get rid of this stuff. No, look at what he says in verse 25. "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" He's not saying don't make plans for the future. That's not what he's saying. Let's continue reading. "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sorrow, or they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they?" You know, when I read this now, I look at this with a different perspective than I did many years ago. Because as I read this, the birds, you know, there are people today that are preparing. They're called preppers, and they're preparing for something in the world that's going to happen. Jesus is saying, look, the birds don't store away and sow and reap and do all this. They pretty much, God takes care of them. He will take care of you. We need to have enough food to last us, maybe if a natural disaster, it's really an unnatural disaster because these things weren't created to be natural. But when an unnatural disaster occurs, like a hurricane or a tornado, and it devastates the area temporarily, it's good to have foodstuffs and things to last us maybe a few weeks or a month even. But we can't possibly prepare as materially for any tribulation that's coming if it's of biblical proportion. Does that make sense? We can't prepare for that. The only way we can prepare for that is by having a relationship with God and His Son. That's the preparation we need to make. So he says here, he continues on. He says in verse 27, "Which of you by worrying..." Let me back up. It says, verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither sow, toil, nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these." Verse 30. "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" You know, God not only will give us clothing like he did the Israelites and supply that for them for years as they went through the desert, but he clothes you with the righteousness of Christ if you will allow it. That prepares you for anything. Nothing can take you down if you're clothed in Christ Jesus. Right? And even if it does in this world, we can have the faith of those Hebrews that were thrown into the furnace. Even if I do lose my life today, I know there's a God in heaven that will preserve me somehow. He'll remember me. So it says, again, verse 31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek, For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus himself, these are his words. He's saying there's no need to be anxious. Do I trust him? Do I believe him? You know, there's no point in dwelling on the unknown stress of the future. What's going to happen next week? Is this going to be a world war? Is war going to break out? Is it going to be nuclear? What's going to happen? What's that? Your anxiety just starts to build. One question leads to another. And then you find yourself covered in anxiety that you just can't seem to dig out of. Whatever will come, will come. If you're in Christ Jesus, we're not going to worry about those things. Focus on enjoying the present. What can I do now? What can I do now to take my mind off of those things? Is there something that I can do? You know, I heard a sermon. I've mentioned this a couple of times, and I don't know if everyone here has heard. I know most of you have. But I was in listening to a pastor give a sermon, and I've got such a blessing from this. He actually came out onto the stage, and he was wearing a backpack. And he was carrying that backpack, and you could see it was pretty heavy, and he takes it off, and he dropped it down, and when the thing hit the floor, it made a loud thud. And this sermon had a big impression on me. And he was talking about carrying around burden. Carrying burdens, unnecessary burden. And this bag represented the burden. And in his sermon, just to consolidate it, what he did is he started pulling the rocks. He had rocks in there. He starts pulling these rocks out and laying them aside. And then when he picked up the bag, it was very light. But the point of his sermon was not only not to carry around the burden, but a lot of times we make our own burden by thinking about what might happen, by thinking about what could take place. Stop looking at what could take place, because most of the time, this was his point, most of the time, if you think about it in your life, have you ever hit it spot on about what would happen in a certain situation? Most of the time, we're off. We might not even be close. And we were all built up and anxious over something that we had no control over, that we have to be in the moment to make the decision to be able to do those things. We don't know what that person's going to say, what the reaction's going to be. So we've gotten all worked up over, really, potentially nothing. Causes anxiety. So when you think about, oh, is this going to happen? Well, what about Israel? What about this? What about... Does it matter? There's nothing I can do about it. God has prophesied things that would happen. I just want to be faithful to him and do his work and preach the gospel. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the earth, right? As a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So rather than trying to predict what's going to happen and get so wrapped up in that, and you know, it can stress relationships too, because you start talking about these things. Well, what if, what if, what if? You know, let's preach the gospel. And all of those what ifs, they just fade into the background. They really do. So, you know, think about how we can do this. How can we reduce our anxiety? Is it just by not talking about those things? Well, let's turn to the Word of God. I'm going to share a few texts with you on the PowerPoint, and I hope this helps a little bit. This was our scripture reading for today, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. That's the title of the sermon, Be Anxious for Nothing. Really? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What's Paul saying? Throw your burden on God. That's what he's saying. He will be faithful to you. Throw it on him. Go to him. Have you ever had something that was on your mind and you just felt like, I've got to talk about it. I've got to get this off my chest. And until you say something, you just don't feel quite right. Throw it on God. Throw it on him. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I can't explain it. It's beyond my understanding, but this is true. That's why it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. This passage continues. Notice, it does stop there. I was thinking I was in a different part of the sermon. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Actually, I think I did put that in at the last part. Hold on a minute, Zach. Don't show this on the screen. There we go. Okay, I did. I put it at the end. I thought I was at that one point. I apologize, friends. But Philippians 4, 6, and 7, keep these things in mind. Keep these things in mind. Next, look at Proverbs 3, 1 through 4 on the PowerPoint. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. I highlighted that for a reason. Most people forget the law of God. This causes anxiety. If I forget the law of God, there's going to be problems in my life. There's going to be consequences for the things that I do that are against the law of God, whether it's now or later. Even if I do those things in secret, I might do them in secret and think, well, nobody sees me. Well, somebody sees you. And if I do those things in public, I can not only be in trouble with my Creator, but I can be in trouble now with the law of the land, because most of the commandments, most of them, if I violate them, I'm going against the law of the land as well. So when it says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments, it doesn't mean I'm just going to keep them because, well, I just want to keep God off of my back. No, it needs to be in your heart. God writes his law in your heart and in your mind. So let your heart keep my commandments. Verse 2, for they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Tie them around your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart, and you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. What a beautiful text. They add length of days and long life. It's true, because if I'm simply doing the commandments of God and I'm living up to the things that he asks me to do, my anxiety level goes way down, because now, let's face it, if somebody commits adultery, well, now they're worried about, what am I going to tell my wife? What's this done with my relationship with God? If they steal, what if so-and-so finds out I steal? I could go to jail for that. What happens to the anxiety? See, it doesn't matter if somebody takes someone's life. They've got that word to worry about. So simply by keeping the commandments, by even the fourth commandment of rest, if I rest, I will live longer. We need rest. We're created that way. We were designed that way. So when it says, they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. Wow. It's really not that hard to lower my anxiety, is it? It's really not that difficult. The next verse in Proverbs 3. This is from the Modern King James. Trust in Jehovah with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Jehovah and depart from evil. See, so changing my lifestyle can reduce my anxiety. Living a godly life, following Christ Jesus. Trust in Jehovah with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's the problem. Most of us want to depend on ourselves. We want to lean on our own understanding. Another text, Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety causes all kinds of issues, health issues, stomach ulcers. It can cause all kinds of different disease, high blood pressure. It's terrible. Next text I'd like to share with you is Psalm 119, 143, and 144. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are a burden to me. No, that's not what he says. Your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everything, or everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Your commandments are my delights. I delight in doing the will of God. Next, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus' words. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus doesn't burden us down. He lightens the load. He will carry it for you if you give it to him. Lean not on your own understanding. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. So you're feeling anxious? He'll take that load from you. He'll take it away. Next text, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 8. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, most of us read this and we just kind of say, well, he cares for you. No, you can take that word you and turn it into a personal thing because that's who it's speaking to. It's speaking to you. He cares for you. A lot of people today feel worthless because they feel that nobody cares about them. That causes anxiety. The way the world is, it's a loveless world for the most part. But there is a God in heaven and his son. He gave his son. His son gave his life. They care for you. So look at that again. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. This is speaking to you, each person listening to this sermon, each person listening to this verse, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And then he gives a little advice. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, without God caring for us, the devil would just gobble us up. And that's what happens. People leave the care of God, and they leave that behind, and they don't want any part of it, and the devil just overtakes them, just devours them. It's like having them for lunch. Next, 1 Peter 5, 9 through 11, the same text. So let's back up. I'll read that last verse again. It says in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is saying that God will take care of you. That's what we sang. That was the opening hymn. God will take care of you through everything, through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. You know, we sing these hymns, they have rich meaning. They have rich meaning. That's what this text is saying. God will take care of you. And yes, your brothers and sisters in Christ, they suffer the same types of things we go through. Maybe to a deeper degree, maybe not so much as we do. But for some reason, there's comfort in knowing that there are others experiencing this, but we're not alone. Not only because the Father and his Son care for us, but because there's a brotherhood that's praying for us, that cares for us, that will help to carry us through those difficult times. Next, Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Who is sitting at the right hand of God? Jesus. So, through Christ Jesus, God will uphold us. He will uplift us. Notice, God says, I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. That's wonderful. Do you believe that? Have you experienced that? Well, I can tell you, I have experienced that. And I really hope that you will take an opportunity to recognize these things and know that you can throw that burden on God. So let's go back to Matthew 24 because we stopped short of reading the whole chapter. Let's go back because I think this is very important that we read those last few verses that I wanted to read there. Matthew chapter 24, and we had read through verse 28. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 29 here. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Well, are you a citizen of the earth or a citizen of heaven? Are you a citizen of the earthly kingdom or the heavenly kingdom? Because when I read there and it says, the Son of Man will appear in heaven and all of the tribes of the earth will mourn. I don't think I'm going to be mourning when I see Christ coming in the clouds. I think I'm going to be rejoicing. And it says in verse 31, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth, of heaven to the other. I want to be one of these. I want to be one of these. Do you feel comfortable? Does this lower the anxiety? Knowing that you're in Christ Jesus, knowing that you can have a relationship with him, that he brings you to the Father, that he brings the Father to us, and that he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. When I want to hear that trumpet blast. It's going to be so loud, it's going to wake the dead. At least those that are in the first resurrection. If you're in Christ, you'll hear that trumpet. You'll hear it blast. So it reminds me of Revelation 22. But let's go back to our scripture reading. Our scripture reading for the day was Philippians 4, 6, and 7. But we're going to read a little past that. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Nothing in those verses bring me anxiety. When I read that, nothing there brings me anxiety. It gives me peace. So there are some other things. I made a little list, and I've got it right here, of things that you can do. You know, we always talk about studying the Bible. There are things that you can do along with studying the Bible that will help you to reduce anxiety, that will help you to reduce the stress level. One is try to eliminate rushing around. You know, I'm always in a hurry. And boy, you know, the last couple of weeks, Tanya and I took 10 days, and we didn't plan. We made no arrangements. We had things we wanted to do, but there was no schedule, I should say. And we left real early on a Thursday morning, and it was so, I don't think I've ever experienced a vacation where I wasn't in a hurry to do something. But I wasn't in a hurry to do anything on this particular vacation. It was so relaxing. Reduces the anxiety. It reduces that stress level. Another thing is you might want to downsize what your expectations are. Don't carry that burden around. Stop looking forward and making problems when we haven't even, let's just let it play through. Pray about it. Downsize. Another way is to, and this is something that in some ways I have to work on, and that's being merciful. I try to be merciful. It's easy for me to be merciful with people that I understand. But with people that I don't understand, and I see them doing something, and maybe I don't know all of their circumstances, I size them up. I need to be more merciful. That will help reduce anxiety. Another thing is admitting our mistakes and imperfections. And boy, I have a ton of them. And it's not hard for me to say, I was wrong. I have to back up. No, I was out of line. And it's a learned behavior. It's not always easy. But admitting mistakes can take your anxiety, because if you know you're wrong and you don't admit it, it burdens you down. It weighs on you. We've talked about this a lot, and that's getting right with God. If you don't have a walk with God, ask Him into your heart. Ask Him to come into your life. Get right with God. One of the things that I love to do is I love to laugh. I love it. And laughing is a, believe it or not, crying sometimes is an outlet. I learned that back in what year was that? 2013. It was the first, I had the hardest cry that I've ever had in my life. I'll just tell you, it was when my dog died. And I cried. And for some reason, after that, it was almost like a cleansing had taken place. I can't explain it. Is that normal? I've asked people that, and a lot of people, even people in the medical field, say that it releases something in your body that causes you to relax. Don't be afraid. Jesus wept, right? Jesus wept. Another thing is taking care of yourself. You know, a lot of times we'll take care of others before we take care of ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves. And you need to know what triggers your anger. And try to avoid those situations. There are things that trigger my anger. This is just everyday things. And I think some of you know what they are. I'll say, boy, this happened, and it just, I just wanted to explode. That raises our anxiety levels. It really does. Learn to say no. You know, I've said this to my brother Rick. I'll ask him, hey, I've got this project. And I'll say, don't be afraid to tell me you can't do it. Because, you know, some people, Rick lives to serve, and he just wants to do. And learn to say no. Sometimes you just can't do something. But you've got to know when to do that, too, because it might offend somebody. So make sure they understand. Our diet and exercise are essentials to lowering stress and anxiety. You know, I try to walk every day, and I will tell you, when I get up in the morning, this morning I took a walk. I wasn't feeling any stress, but on the days that I do, it tends to lower that. It's like a release. And our diet, the things that we put into our mouth, the things that we eat, the things that we watch also, that's another thing. So these are just a few pointers that might help you to reduce the anxiety level. But diet is a big part. You know, today they're putting so much garbage in our foods. And you know, if we stick with what the Bible says to eat, it will make a big difference, not only in what we think, but how we feel, and our health, and our cholesterol, everything. Our blood pressure can lower just by living according to God's standards. And the two last, and certainly at the top, should have put these at the top of the list, but I wanted to put these at the bottom, because I always like to end on something like this. Pray about everything. Prayer is very important. But in order to pray, you have to know God, right? Now, you don't have to. There are people who pray that don't know God, and He hears their prayer. But trust God. Trust Him and His sovereignty. Trust Him and His judgment. And if we do those things, if we trust God in His judgment and we pray about things and we just follow this simple little list, it will, and by reading the Bible and knowing the things that we went over today, this will help us to reduce anxiety. It'll really help. So, can I say that? Be anxious for nothing? If we're following the Word of God, and we have a relationship with the Father and His Son, and we simply do the things that are written in the inspired Word and live according to this, live the way Christ tells us to live, we can be anxious for nothing.
Well, friends, I hope that somehow this sermon will help you to be able to reduce your anxiety
and be able to throw your burden on God and just ask Him for help in that regard if you're suffering from anxiety. I think all of us, in some way or another, there are certain things that make us anxious. We may not suffer from a lot of anxiety, but there are things in this life that come up that I'm sure make you feel a little uneasy. And hopefully we can learn to rely on God when we need Him in these times. Now, next Sunday, I'm hoping that we'll be back in the studio. That's our plan, that Ed and I will be back at the Prophecies of Hope studio, and we'll be right here. That'll be Sunday, February the 25th, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio, and we hope that you will be able to join us then. But in the meantime, this is all of the time that we have for this week, and let's just go ahead and have a closing word of prayer together. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for your word and all of the practical counsel that you give us in your word, the things that you teach us, the lessons that we learn from your son, Jesus Christ, the lessons that we learn from the Bible accounts that we can read through and learn things of how you dealt with your people in the past and how you will help us even now. So, Father, I just ask that you will be with each and every person that is listening to this program. Please help us to be witnesses for you, to preach the gospel to everyone who we meet when the appropriate time comes. So, Father, please guide us and direct us. Keep us safe until we come together again next week. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, friends, I hope you'll tune in again here next Sunday, 7 p.m. Ed and I should be here in the Prophecies of Hope studios, Lord willing. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.